Station WCNO in Florida, and Minister Tom Creighton. Next year, I'm going to join him with our KAYT family. We'd like you to go along with us. The dates are February 16th through the 26th, 2014. It's an 11-day tour and includes just about everything. An inspiring journey through the land where Jesus lived and preached. The cost is $39.95, and we have made arrangements to leave from New Orleans for an additional $180. Imagine worshiping together while moored in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, strolling through Nazareth, the town where Jesus grew up, praying amid the ancient trees of the Garden of Gethsemane, standing on the shore where Jesus beckoned Peter, James, and John to become fishers of men, the opportunity to renew your baptismal vows in the River Jordan, and so much more. A deposit of $500 per person is due with your application. September 1st, a second payment of $1,300 per person is due, and on January 2nd, the final payment is due. That's for the Holy Land Pilgrimage, including KAYT listeners, with Minister Tom Creighton, February 16th through the 26th, 2014. It's an 11-day tour, and you will be blessed. For more information, call Minister Tom Creighton at 1-888-221-8990. That's 1-888-221-8990. I hope you'll join us on this tour of a lifetime. It's an experience you will not forget.
Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
You know, we have so many people now that are not learning to be faithful, that they're not trustworthy, they're not dependable, they're not loyal, they're not reliable, and they have no faithfulness, which means you really can't depend on them. The Bible says that confidence, having trust, having faith in an unfaithful man in times of trouble is like having a foot out of joint or a broken tooth. It's pretty painful. So you can't put confidence or have confidence in people that are not faithful. In other words, don't entrust things that are valuable to you to people that are not faithful. I had a lady come by that needed some help with a utility bill. And I asked her, I said, well, what happened? She said, I gave my utility bill money to my brother who was supposed to go pay it. And guess what he did? He spent it and apologized to her, told her he was sorry, and said, I'll make it up to you next month. Now, I want to know, how long has your brother been unfaithful? Because you don't entrust your riches or things that are valuable to you to people who are not trustworthy or reliable. Right? Are they just going to get you in more trouble? Because you're expecting something to happen. You're expecting a certain result or a certain outcome. And if they're not faithful, they'll let you down and they'll just say, well, I'm sorry. You don't loan money to people that's not faithful. Right? Because if they don't have a history of paying back, just go ahead and give them the money and don't expect nothing in return. Look, you're fooling yourself. Well, I'm going to trust you this time because they on their knees begging. Yeah, but what's their track record? If they got a track record of not paying back means they're not faithful, then you can't put confidence that they're going to do it. So if you're going to help them, just go ahead and help them and don't look for nothing in return. So sometimes when we help people, I just say, well, you can't pay me back. I'm not expecting nothing in return. But if God deal with you in that way and you want to do it, that's between you and him. But I'm not going to get myself bogged down expecting something from somebody that's not faithful. And sometimes you don't know when you make commitments or you entrust something to somebody. Sometimes you don't know, but once you find out, don't be a fool. You know, I learned the hard way. I helped somebody out of a jam, me and CeCe, one time. You know, I should have learned from the first sign. The first sign. This lady, you know, didn't have a place to stay. She was getting evicted from where she was. So that's the first sign right there. Okay, because she had a job. All right, I'm not talking about people get laid off or they fall on hard times and things like that, things that happen beyond their control. Sometimes people are in situations like that and they need help. But this person, they had a good job, making good money, and got an eviction notice. And she went to the church, and the church wouldn't help her. That was my second sign. I sent her to the church administrator. I said, well, go ask him for help. Well, he did the interview and stuff like that, and she came back and said, the church won't even help me. So me and CeCe, the Good Samaritan, we'll help you. And boy, we stretched. We really stretched and said, now look, I need this money back, because she had a plan of how she's going to get it back. I said, look, I need this money back because I'm not giving this to you. We need this, but we're going to help you. All right, I gave her the money, and before the sun set, everybody say before the sun set. Before the sun went down, somebody else had stepped in and had helped her and got her another place she wasn't going to even have to pay for. I said, well, good then. Well, good. I said, well, when you going to bring the money back? Oh, Brother Greg, oh, me and my daughters, we needed some stuff, and I took that money and I went and bought, I don't know what all she bought, but she bought stuff, and that money was gone. But I'm going to pay you back just like I told you. And you know what? I didn't ever get that money. And I kept every now and then, I'd call a check on it because, like I say, we needed the money. I said, when you going to pay me? Then I found out she had moved to Atlanta, out of state. So I got the telephone number and I called out of state. I want my $500. Every time I called her, she had a sad story. I said, well, you know, it's been 2 years. I said, you could have sent me $10 a month. You could have sent me something. You could have sent me $5. Anything would have been better than zero. And so after I got off the phone with her that night, I said, listen, CeCe, the money ain't never coming back. Let's just go ahead and release her from the debt. I'm going to call and tell her she don't owe us nothing. And we're just going to go on with God. I said, because this is messing me up with her. I didn't want to love her. I wanted to kick her. And I knew that wasn't right. So I said, Jesus, I got to let this one go. Let me let it go, Lord. I don't want to stop my own blessing here because my heart is starting to turn toward her wrong. So I had to be faithful to keep myself in the love of God and let it go. So next time we see her, you know, I'm not going to be asking her about the money and stuff. Unfaithful. Not trustworthy at all. Word don't mean nothing. God doesn't want you to be that way. He wants you to be faithful. Faithfulness is so misunderstood, yet it is required by God to be entrusted with the true the true riches. Your faithfulness to God speaks of your obedience, your consecration, your commitment, your values, your willingness to serve God and others. So faithfulness speaks loud and clear. When a person is faithful, they become very valuable. They become an asset to any organization. Amen. Actually, the world runs on the faithful. The whole world revolves around people that are faithful to get stuff done. Faithful people is what keep things moving. And people that have done studies on corporations will tell you there's what they call the Pareto principle, that 20% of the people in any organization do most of all the work, and the other 80% is carried. So there's about 20%, 2 in 10 you can find that's faithful. And it's the same way in the church. You have 20% of the people that will hook up with you, and the other 80%, they're just going to come give their tithe, but they ain't going to serve, they ain't going to help. They're just going to come have a good time, go home on Sunday, ain't going to commit to nothing. Not going to be faithful on anything. They'll sign up for stuff and then don't show up when they're assigned to work. You give them guidelines, call your department head or your leader. If you can't be there, they don't call. So you got this handful of people that you have to call on to do everything. And you see, what they say, well, they don't use nobody up there but these few folks right here. There's a reason why. The reason why you keep seeing the same people being used is because those people have proved themselves faithful. And you can't entrust things to people that are not faithful because they're going to let you down. You'll be expecting something to get done and it's not getting done, then you end up having to do it. Or you end up stressing somebody else out getting it done because they had their load they're taking. Now they have to take on somebody else's responsibility. You see what I'm saying? So you can see why God requires faithfulness. He requires that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So you can see how sometimes churches will struggle with growth. They'll struggle in their finances. They'll struggle with church attendance because some people haven't caught faithfulness. So you have people that will hit and miss with their tithes and their offerings. And you know what? The tithes and offerings pay the light bills. They keep everything functioning in the church. They pay for the salaries of people that are working in the church. God ordained it that way. If you go back in the Old Testament, you see that the Levites, they weren't even allowed to work. They were supported by the people. God didn't permit them to have jobs and to farm and to do all that. He wanted them wholly devoted to himself, to do the service of worship and things like that. And so when you have people that are not faithful to give, they hit and miss with their tithes and offerings. In that area of just in giving, God requires you to be faithful. What about church attendance? Well, you have to be faithful in that too. If you want to stay connected to what God is doing in that assembly, you have to be faithful to attend. Because there's times that we have to meet with people that come in and say, Pastor, I feel disconnected. I feel out of place. You know, I feel like, you know, I don't belong here anymore. And then I look at their attendance record. And they come once a month or twice a month. You know, they dart in and dart out, don't fellowship with anybody. I say, well, it ain't the Holy Ghost moving you. That ain't the Holy Ghost at all. You're just not faithful to come, so you feel disconnected. And I'll just use some simple analogies. I say, now, if you was on a team or in a band and you didn't ever go to practice and you showed up every now and then, you're going to feel out of place because they don't learn new songs since you was there. And now when they hit the note, everybody else is in step, you out of step. They don't learn new drills and you still got the old drill. Don't go to football practice for a week. They're going to put somebody else in your place. Amen. They're going to add to their playbook. And they'll put you in there and say, now run this play. And you say, what play is that? Where do I go on this play? And they're out of place. And they feel disconnected.